All right, everybody, welcome to The Gray Matters, where we come together to discuss more than just the hot topics and headlines of the day from a Black man's perspective. We appreciate that we are not all a monolith, and every subject deserves to be explored with nuance, giving a view from all sides of the culture. So we're here to hopefully bring you every week a little bit of nuance, class, and fun to every topic we discuss. Our panel consists of three guys that are absolutely nothing alike, and you'll soon come to find out, if you don't already know, just how much we love each other in spite of our sometimes very big differences. I'm Billy Craig, joining you today from a partly cloudy, kind of stormy Delaware, and I'm joined to you by the usual suspects, my good friend Roger out in the great city of Nashville, Tennessee, and Stan Smith in Portland. You Adult Swim fans will get that one later. How you doing, guys? Good to see you, Jimmy. Say hello.
That's cold-blooded.
Hey, listen. It was either you was going to be Stan or you was going to be Steve, and I felt like we
could. Wow.
I just knew Andre was going to be Roger. That's it.
Why you got to be Roger, though? The Ricky Spanish episode came on last night.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, God.
Yes. Actually, honestly, that's what inspired me.
That's what it was.
Yep. I was like, Andre, he getting into his shenanigans? And it's like, yeah. He's a whole alien. All right.
Well, I'm glad we're in a good mood because... I don't know which way this is going to go. This might take a turn for the better, for the worse. I don't know. We'll see. But
speaking of shenanigans,
man, a whole list of shenanigans. So we typically at The Gray Matters do not jump on like hot topics of the day, but we got to make an exception to the rules every once in a while. And this deserves an exception. Carly Russell. But not specifically Carly Russell. The whole Carly Russell types is the best way to describe it. But to give you background, not too much, but just so you know who it is. If you don't know her name, you should. But the young lady from Hoover, Alabama, who allegedly, because I don't want nobody to come after us, allegedly faked a kidnapping. Or allegedly was kidnapped.
However, you want. If you're rich, we ain't rich.
I just got this house. I just want to.
people.
She had some issues with a boyfriend or something, where it was an immediate cry for attention. And the parallel to this is Jussie Smollett, of course, who also had a cry for attention, who was allegedly being written out of a script for Empire, and was desperate for attention as well. So that's the common theme. But we don't want to just look at the actual facts of the case. We want to actually look at the people that are in that category, and is there a separate room we can put these people in once we finish dragging them? Because the thing is, you know, we all prayed for Carly to return home safe. And I have no ill will towards this young lady. I do want her to be safe, but she wasted some prayers is how I feel about that. just saying, like we all had kumbaya moments and held hands and candlelight visuals and all kinds of things. And
that was y'all.
Paul said he didn't waste his. Boy, he didn't waste his prayers. He only got a few good ones left. So I just wanted to explain. Are we still supposed to be praying for this young lady? Are we still like, what are we doing with these people that play us and play on our emotions for the attention? I guess is the best way to. I have no other reason or another factor to play into it other than just attention. So. I actually want to start off with the clergy in the group because I'm curious. since I mentioned I'm tired of praying for her, I'm really curious on what Rev got to say about this.
Wow. let me just say this. Other than in general, praying for her, I didn't start. And what I mean by that is I'm not going to not pray for anybody. Like, and since we're here, I pray for R. Kelly, right? Mm. I pray for Bill Cosby. I pray for Jussie Smollett. I pray for all of them because there's a certain, we all have something, right? We all have something, whether it's mental health, social stuff, trauma, whatever it is, we all have something. Ain't none of us perfect. But the reason why I say other than general, I didn't buy it from the beginning.
Facts.
The first thing that I said, true story, I was actually, when it first broke and I started seeing it on the internet and I kind of did the research, the first thing I said was, where has this girl been? She's never seen the movie Taken. She's never seen any of these crime movies where, and apparently she had just finished watching it before she, you know, ran out and saw this imaginary baby. But so other than general prayers, no, I never started praying because I didn't buy it. And it's not because I don't care. It's just, I'm like, I need to see more information because you can't be this. I have a hard time believing anybody is out in Hoover, Alabama, seeing babies on the side of the highway and just pulling over and, you know, unlocking their doors and getting out. That's number one. But number two, I have trouble with the way that we in our society, we're very cause oriented. And it reminds me of something that I witness all the time. We've talked about it a couple of times here, where I live right down the street, like not even a mile down the road from me where my church is. There's an abortion clinic. There's plenty of people outside who it's a cause. We, you know, save the babies and, you know, we want to end abortion and all these types of things. But after that's over, you know, after the picket signs and the people outside, you know, stopping traffic and harassing people are done, what is done about, you know, when babies actually get here? And so I say that only to say that the internet lit on fire at the thought of, you know, this black girl. And, you know, I even had people on my timeline talking about, oh my gosh, if you don't care, if you don't pray for her, if this doesn't bother you that a black woman can come up missing, then you just don't care about the culture. And I'm just like, I'm gonna just, you know, I just need people to calm down. And what's that saying? I need you to be as loud in the apology as you were in the disrespect.
Yes.
I need people to drag this woman. Okay. I need her to get a fit. I don't mean, you know, person. I need her to get dragged as hard as she was lifted up in prayer for the simple fact that I need people to understand this is not a game. There are people who are actually out here being kidnapped. There are actual people who are being kidnapped and trafficked. In human trafficking, sexual predators out here taking advantage of people. There are whole international crime rings. I learned a lot about it because there was an organization I worked with in Atlanta when I lived there for several years. It's not a game. And so I need her to get sufficiently dragged with the same vigor and enthusiasm that she got lifted up. Because I need people to understand this needs to be discouraged. This behavior is no fun. It is not okay. And, you know, like you said, like you were kind of, you know, poking fun at it, but the truth is there's a lot of people that were out here sincerely praying, fasting, going to God, really concerned about her and her family. And you did this for attention. Yeah. I need you dragged. And if I'm wrong, then God gonna have to deal with me on it. But I don't believe I am. So that's all I got.
Before you start, Paul, so we're going to uncover, just based on the press conference, just a couple of the
answers,
just to catch people up. We're just going to do it in doses. So as Billy mentioned, she said she stopped on the side of a road because there was a baby. Now we're going, this was mistake number one. And it wasn't for me whether I believe or disbelieve anything from the beginning. Some things didn't sound right, but I wasn't in my prayer closet like that over this one. I just gave a quick blessing of the food kind of prayer and moved on about my day, shared some things. But one, first mistake is she said a little white baby was on the side of the road. Like that wasn't going to call media attention. Now, we from an era old enough when little white girl fell down in a well and they stopped everything on television and whole world. From the era
that little white girl got missing in the van with her boyfriend, she got a documentary already. So, we're still in the era,
right? Well, I'm just saying, like, the fact that she didn't think there was going to be attention placed when once you say a little white baby missing on the side of the road, that's mistake number one. Then two, your browser history. She had Googled how to steal money, Googled the movie Taken, and Googled like Amber Alerts and things like, I encourage criminal behavior, but if you're going to do this, dog, don't do it on your phone.
What about your incognito browser? I mean,
man, there's way more tools to be able to pull this off. But
go to a library, like
somewhere.
Come on, bruh. Like what are we doing here?
This is basic Keystone Cops at its finest. And as Billy said, there is some things that need to happen to her. I've seen, you know, the whole Jussie Smollett situation where you got to pay the money back that were used for resources. I've seen people against that just because they're saying, you know, police officers are doing their job. Like, you got paid, so she shouldn't have to pay back for that. All I'm saying is it needs to either be jail time or payback money. I'm cool with either one. Like, it just... Where we at?
I'm
saying take a chunk out of ass with the jail time, put her on the side of the road, have her picking up trash for the next 5 years. That's what I'm on.
I say let Nancy Grace decide.
Wow. Okay. Wow. But
I have my reasons.
Nancy Grace?
Yeah. Yeah. Because every time I think about a white little white baby that gets abducted, that's the first thing to come to my mind. That, and remember the old screensaver dancing baby thing? Like, that's what I had in my head, was the dancing baby on the side of the road, and you just, like, stopped and got to
see. He said Nancy Grace, though.
Yes, Nancy Grace.
Well, Judge Mathis would have called her a whole crackhead, so that's a whole different story. So, Paul, but just to move it forward, like, what are we supposed to do in these situations? Like, what's the appropriate reaction when things like this, when we as a society, you know, get duped into whatever, you know, with Jussie Smollett, it was a whole, like, an entire race war he tried to start. If you haven't seen the documentary on Hulu, I promise you should check it out, because it's going to make you mad all over again. But like, what are we doing? Like, what are we supposed to do here, Paul?
First of all, we got to stop being so emotional. We got to start actually, everything's so knee-jerk and prisoner of the moment, you know. Again, like when this thing ran across, it didn't even, my ears didn't even perk up. that don't even sound right. Like, so I didn't even pay no attention to it. So I'm just now everything's coming to fruition. I'm watching everybody's reaction. I'm like, you know what? My sense, same with the Jussie or Juicy, whatever that dude's name is.
Juicy.
Jussie? Is it Jesse? Like, what are we doing there? Like, that right there should let you
that
know.
That should let you know from the very beginning.
What are we doing? Yeah. Now, I don't know. Again, I don't know this lady. You know, it reminds me of back in the day. Remember, Sharpton jumped out the window on the one lady.
What's her name?
Tawana Bradley.
Tawana Bradley. That's exactly right. Yeah.
You know, and it's like.
And he still, and they will not let him live that down, even though he was sincere. But that's my point.
He didn't do his due diligence.
That's the point. He owns it. Gotta own it.
And then we got Crump all over. Like, it's just Milli Vanilli.
Yeah, I said it.
We just a mess, man. We just a mess. Like, our whole movement is a joke, bro.
So, but is this an indictment on kind of the black culture? Or because I've seen people who said, you know, you're making all black people look
Yes.
That's the easy
Absolutely. It's an indictment on everything.
What's that?
Because
saying?
Everything's intertwined here. She used race, she used gender. Like, everything she did to tug at the heartstrings and pull emotion out of people, because we automatically knee-jerk react to certain things. Like, this woman's a sociopath.
What's that
like,
saying?
Like, she's a dangerous human. Like, this ain't, like, this is more than funny.
What's like, that real saying? Talk. Like, I'd rather be right than be first.
Yeah.
Too many people want to be first. And well, they want to get, I want my blessing. I want my prayers to go up for, I want to show that I'm the most enthusiastic and I care the most about this girl being found. And I care the most. And it's like, trust me, if you're sincere about them thoughts and prayers, they're going to get there. You don't have to, you know, jump on it first.
I'm going to say something that's probably controversial. I don't really care about everybody that's missing. Sorry. Like, I hope they get found. I hope, because everybody that's missing ain't missing. Some of them people left.
Some of the people you sold them. I know nobody want to hear that. Them. I was going to say, it's real.
It's real.
Yeah.
Well, we need to have different conversations around that. That's a whole nother show.
Yeah. Andre looking at us right now like, okay, it's time to go to commercial break.
Right. But still, this lady, like, what made her think? What type of psychosis are you under that you think nobody's going to find out that you're lying about that?
But isn't that the nature of attention in the first place? That if you need attention that bad, we don't call it that. I'm one of those people that believes that 200-300 years from now, as society's evolved and we've discovered more things, like, there's a lot of stuff that we don't have a diagnosis for, we don't have a category for it, but we just call people attention whores. But
true,
I'm sure somebody's going to put in the time, do the work, and find there's an actual, like, chromosome or there's a mineral deficiency or something that leads to this mess. Because yeah, we know people that they have enough sanity and critical thinking skills to know that you're not going to get away with saying there was a white baby on the side of the road in Hoover, Alabama. But let's face it, we know a lot of people who suffer from, like, this just desperate need for attention. And it's almost like we try to ignore it, or like, well, we don't want it to inconvenience us, but we see it every day. All the time.
Well, first off, Billy, I want to thank you for giving us a title for this episode, which is going to be Attention Horse. But secondly, I'm glad you actually brought that up, because I want to spend we can leave this little girl where she at.
She's insignificant in the bigger scheme.
In the big
of this
picture, right?
So when we talk about the people that we know that are seeking attention and the generation of the kids that we are raising, where social media is such a huge influence in what they do as part of their being. Like, all of us played sports, for people who are new to this show. So a lot of things tend to get back to sports at some point, but like they were mentioning, an athlete's favorite thing to do when they fed up with an organization is to unfollow them on, you know, social media or something like that. Which is supposed to get people's attention, like not walking in their office saying, I want to trade or anything like that. I'm just going to unfollow you on social media. And so with this new day and age of social media being what it is, and people looking for justification, validation, whatever it is, like, what do y'all, like, how do y'all see this playing? Like, is it going to get better or worse in the next, you know, 10 to 15 years? when our kids are the adults at that point.
Well, my two kids, man, I'll snatch their internet out their phone. Like, no, we're not doing that for attention.
The different thing, like, because all of us have logged on to social media and somebody has seen somebody just like, oh, my day, I have nothing left to live for. Like, all these different
things. Yeah, oversharing.
Yeah, over, yes. That's what I was going to say. I'll say it like this. I don't know that it's going to get worse. I do not necessarily see it getting, I don't necessarily see it getting better. And I'll just offer this up really quickly. And again, this is one of those, like, I'm probably going to get hate mail and get unfollowed and all kinds of stuff on this. One of the things that my uncle and I used to talk about a lot, I have a bunch of uncles, but one in particular, he spent the majority of his life, his adult life, as a gay man. And one of the things that he told me was, he said, there's a difference between the gay people who are not necessarily closeted. It wasn't like they're keeping it a secret. They just don't feel the need to tell everybody that they're gay. And they just kind of live, you know, if you didn't know that they were gay, you wouldn't know that they were gay. And then there were others who we often make caricatures of them, right? There's satire. There's all types of thing in entertainment. You see, those are the ones who they talk in a very effeminate way. They dress a certain way, makeup, flamboyant, like what you think of if you were to say they like mimic, RuPaul.
They mimic Black women.
Exactly. They mimic Black women. That's a great characterization for it. And one of the things he said was, he said he always had a, even as a gay man, he said he always had a problem with those types because he said, I respect anybody however they want to do their sexuality. He said, but I have a problem with them because it's almost as though they diminish or take away from people who are living that lifestyle because they make it where it's something, it's almost like something to be mocked or to be made fun of, because really what they're trying to do is get attention. They want you to be like, you know, it's like I think about it how, if somebody doesn't, and there have been plenty of times where people have talked to me, let's say they've said something like, oh, well, you know, your wife, and they might have a criticism, or they may say something about how, you know, she looks or whatever, right? I don't really care what they think. I don't need you to validate. Hold on, time out.
Somebody actually will come up to
you. That's another story for another day, another conversation. We ain't even got there.
No. What did you do to them?
Listen. That's another conversation for
day. That's hands and foot.
Listen to what I'm saying. Like I said,
who the hell would have the audacity to walk up to a man and criticize his wife's appearance?
Listen.
Oh, I just put this together because for people who are just new to the show.
I'm new to this.
No, Billy is a pastor.
Yeah,
okay. He's a whole pastor, and people in the church.
That's why I said,
like, they have a
the a way about themselves,
and they so have an it's almost like to be able to discuss they the feel first
like,
lady,
and it's like wow. If you don't, and so it's almost like if you don't fit the part, that yes. is typically where that comes from. That whole energy of right now, and so it take all the Jesus I got to be like y'all don't know. Jesus, but Jesus here's the point
for none of that.
But here's the point I'm getting at. I don't feel compelled to justify or seek validation for, like, why I love my wife, what I find attractive about my wife, that kind of thing. I don't feel that kind of need. And the same goes for my own sexuality. You can think what you want to think. But people who are broken in that area, broken in that way, there is a desire to be accepted or seen or validated. And you will see it where people will be like, there are men out there who will be like, you know what? You need to dress a certain way. You need to look a certain way. You need to do this and do that. Not because it affects them, but because they don't want to be seen this way. Their image, their public image matters. And my point in going through all this is that it's attention and the desire to be validated by those types of things are the problem. And that's why I don't see it going anywhere, because I don't think this is particularly new. I just think that the venues, the formats, the fact that everybody's got a selfie stick. Well, do we even use selfie sticks anymore? People just hold their hand out now, you know, but the fact that everybody's doing selfies, like I can't go through anything on social media without people constantly. You're at the gym and you got to record yourself actually working out. I mean, that's fine. Do you, especially if you have your own media platform and you're training people, whatever. But the desire to always be seen and somebody's got to like you, or I only got 12 likes. It's been up for 6 hours. Like, I don't think that part is going away because I don't think it is new. I think it is a symptom of a larger problem that's always been there. I don't think it's new.
This predates social media.
Absolutely.
You got people who got teased in high school and they 50, going on 50 right now, still trying to shine on people who they ain't seen in 30 years.
I feel attacked. But go ahead.
Like, I mean, real talk. Like, I'm not even talking about you, but we get to you another time.
Yeah. Because, hey, I'm going to let you know, I'm going to stunt. I remember your name. I know it was eighth grade, but hey, I'm going
to
stunt.
Man, I have no desire to impress any of them people. I ain't been around, and I ain't been around them. Why would I want to impress them?
Don't even know if you're alive.
Now, there are a few people I haven't seen in a couple decades that I still keep in touch with, that I love and still, you know, mess with on that level. But them other people that I didn't really rock with, I didn't rock with you then. I don't care what you think of me today.
You didn't honestly know me then. You didn't know me then. Much
I didn't
less
care
now.
Then. Right. Why would I care now? And there's a lot of people still trying to prove to the seventh grade bully that they worth something.
Mm.
And that might be part of this whole attention thing. You know what I'm saying?
Now, you know, I feel attacked because he was a seventh grade bully.
Not real talk.
I was not. No, but don't put that room right there.
Man, look, man, there are people who are traumatized by the fact that those 3 years that you was the man in high school. Mm. They may have more money than you, a prettier wife than you, a bigger house than you, and they still mad about them 3 years in high school that you had that they didn't get.
Because you got 10 more carries.
Because you see what I'm saying?
Literally.
Literally. It's wild, man.
Right.
No, I dig it. And I actually, when you said that this has been around for a while, it got me to thinking, and this isn't like an attack on the church or anything like that, but it was more validation that yes, this would still go on regardless. Like I go to Mount Zion Baptist Church in Nashville. And one of the things that they did a long time ago was stop having people bring their money up for the collection. Because that was an opportunity to be seen. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things that if you're doing that in church, like it's just, you're supposed to just be focused on one individual thing, but you're going to have your best outfit on, you looking for husbands and men looking for wives, like all the club time, in the 1 minute it takes you to walk your collection up there. And, you know, and when they,
people doing backflips, spinning around, doing their little jig,
a competition for Jesus's attention.
Right.
It don't take all that sometimes. Now, I ain't trying to rob nobody's testimony, but you know, we all know them people.
If you know, you know.
Right. And who done fell out every week and they looking around, making sure the right eyes is on them when they fall out and stuff like that.
Doing the whole centipede.
but I do agree that either way, this would still happen whether social media was there or not. Like we've all had people that we know, like back then. And now
that's called them drama queens.
There you go. Yeah. You already beat me to the punch. Yeah. Where they had to be involved in something. They had to talk loud.
They had to be, if you did something, they had to one up you. Oh, you had $10. They had 15. Like it's it never stops.
And the amount of anger, because like y'all been preaching, I don't think y'all really know, but y'all been talking to my spirit this entire time, because the amount of people that still hate me when they went all out, like had the fresh polo, had this, like had all, when I was growing up, dog, I wore rec specs. And I was two things I had going, or three, I guess, One, I was athletic. Two, I was funny. And three, I had game. So there's people really walking this earth right now that still hate me because they did everything that they did. And I didn't like, but I still won, you know, in their eyes of that competition. And when I go back home to Cincinnati, Ohio, and people see me, like, I've literally had people try to read me their resume. Like when I ain't caught up with you, I ain't seen you in 30 years, dog. Congratulations on the business and the wife and the success and all that's awesome. Okay, you can stop talking. Oh, you gonna keep going. Oh, you gonna tell me about that too? Okay. Oh, you reading off all your credentials. Like, dog, I don't care. Like,
It's true story. No. I move on about my day.
True story. Whenever I go back to Forest Park, you know the UDF out there on Winton? Mm-hmm. The one behind the old Fitworks. It's like
the one I used to work at.
There you go. Right. It is funny because I pull up there, right? The one, there's a Skyline right there, right? And I go there because my wife, she wants some Skyline. She always wants some UDF, I guess, some Grippos. We usually go there on our way out because my dad, he lives in Fairfield right across 275. And it's wild because I tell her, I said, man, I know I'm going to see somebody every time I go in here. And I just be sitting there, like, every time I walk in and I see somebody from the neighborhood, and I'm just like, and they be like, oh, man, you know, I've been doing, and I'm just like, dude, you ain't got nothing to prove, man. Like,
I ain't got no money.
Not only that, but I'm like, listen, you know, oh, you look good, man. How's this? And it's like, bro, I don't even remember. One of the things, though, and it's funny because when you mentioned that, Andre, one of the things it made me think of is how, not to take too far a left turn on this, but I think about how we deal with, like, in doing IT, this is one of the things that has always tripped me out, is what they call cyberbullying, and how people talk about how the internet is so vicious out there and it's cruel and it's mean to kids, and it never made sense to me. Until I started dealing with my own kids. And at one point I was just like, my son was talking about these people being mean to him online. I was like, log off.
How?
Like, turn it off. Like,
yeah, just go to another app.
Right. Like, you don't even know these people. These aren't people at your actual school. These aren't people who are actually walking up on you.
Then you can get to them.
That's exactly right. I said, these are people just being mean about stuff. And the point I'm getting at is there is a certain, and I do believe this has changed with the advent of the internet and social media and other platforms, is that I do believe that we get flooded with it, meaning we don't get breaks. Like, it used to be a time, like I said, if somebody was, you know, messing with me, you know, at school, I could go home and then I got away from it. And then I didn't have, and then I just had to get some rest, eat, you know, gear up for it. And, you know, it was back to the war zone when I got on the bus and went back to school. But now it's like there's no break because people are addicted to the Twitters and the Facebook and constantly staying up 24 hours a day, constantly having themselves flooded with this stuff. And so I do believe that part is different, but it's still the same solution, which is unplug. Yeah. Just unplug. You don't need the attention. Unplug.
While we unplugging, dog, you also don't need to make the grand announcement that you unplugging. Just unplug, dog. Like,
that part.
Yes.
I'm about to delete people off of my Facebook.
Somebody asked me this, in fact, just last week.
Nobody cares.
Somebody asked me this last week.
I've never even been to your page. And here's something. I'm gonna tell people this. I've never been to your page. Never. Right. I have a timeline. I scroll my timeline. I've literally never been on your actual Facebook page. No. None of you are that interested.
I can count how many people I was like, you know what? Let me click on and see what this dude doing. I can count on like one hand how many times I actually done it.
Okay.
But that's the thing. Somebody asked me this last week.
It will refresh. You see something and you want, and it'll refresh. That'll be the time I'll go to your page because I'll go look for that thing that I wanted. And I couldn't finish it because it refreshed on me. But outside of that,
someone asked me last week because they posted
your pictures and your out info. It's not happening.
They said that they were logging off Facebook for a few months or whatever. And so then they asked me about it. They sent me a message to let me know. And I was like, they said, have you ever done that before? And I said, I have taken a social media hiatus as recently as like, what, 2 months ago. Mm-hmm. And it was like, for real? And I was like, yeah. And it was like, I don't remember it. I was like, because I didn't say nothing. Right. Like, if you didn't have my phone number and you couldn't direct message me like through my phone or something, or you didn't know how to get in touch with one of my kids or my wife or my sister or somebody like that, then you just had to go without me for a few weeks.
Yeah.
I don't have to make an announcement. Like, ask days. Paul. He know how to find me.
Yeah, I don't know. Days, I don't even pick up my phone.
Right.
Man.
Like, I three, 4 days in a row. Yeah. And then y'all hit me like, you all right? On the DM. I'm like, right. Yeah, I'm chill. I just ain't fucking with the phone right now.
That's exactly right. Or I actually have, like, a family or a ministry or a business. Right. Or what? I got stuff to do. Baseball. Yes.
God, baseball.
Yeah. And people get, but, and even that is a part of that attention thing where it's almost like it's not just I need attention. I need it immediately. Like, I have to have it now. If I post something, if I say something, if I tweet something, I expect immediate responses. How about I was just taking a nap? What you mean I'm ignoring you? What do you mean I'm ignoring? I'm not paying you attention. I was asleep. I had a cold.
How about this one?
I was driving.
Just because I'm active on Facebook don't mean I'm taking calls or returning texts.
Mm.
Or even DMs.
Listen.
Just because it's green by my little avatar don't mean I'm available.
I'm the worst violator ever of that. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I will see that you called, not answer the call, and continue posting what I was getting ready to post on Twitter.
Bruh. With that face you just made.
And dare you say something. Yeah, the Dennis Edwards, the... Like, you're going to get that. And because it's one... And honestly, that's kind of my way of declaring my independence. Like, boundaries. My way of saying boundaries.
Boundaries is it.
Excellent book, by the way. I recommend it. I forget the name of the author now. I just started. It was recommended to a friend of from a friend of mine. But that's the thing, the boundaries. And honestly, you don't free yourself from needing attention until you develop some of those boundaries. Mm-hmm. You don't free, like, that's the worst form of slavery and shackles, and just, you're literally your mind is dominated by this obsessive need to be validated by outside sources and people that you probably don't even, most of them you don't even know. And it gets you to actually stage a crime. Like, think about how deprived you are of just reality, not attention, just reality. Like, you're willing to go to jail. You're going to get all the attention you want.
Think about how selfish you are.
Yes.
To try to hold someone emotionally hostage because they don't want to be your man no more.
Outside of, I mean, that part, but also just
they used to just have babies when you didn't want to do that, when you didn't want to be their man no more. They used to just have a baby on you.
But there's
this lady finding, she done took it to white babies on the highway.
Man. But the thing
is, I don't know if you ever been to Hoover, Alabama, by the way, but I have.
I've been between Birmingham and Tuscaloosa.
You were close.
Yeah. I've been through the whole thing. So
I don't want to go back. I don't
want
to go back.
The point is, she went, to your point, she went a very long way to basically not do the work and deal with the fact that you have way too much going for you in your life, whether you know it or not, to be out here staging crimes to get some attention.
Well, but we talked about this on a previous episode, that when Paul said selfish, it just made me think about this. Like, she's an AKA. So, so now they got to defend her or not, or whatever that, but it's a dragging of them. Then your parents, it's a dragging of them.
They defending her though.
Well, there's some more things coming out about the parents as we continue to go on. That's a little bit too. But But even then, immediately when this whole thing happened, that's been my perspective the entire time, was like, her poor parents. But now, you know, and that's where I feel like some more prayers were wasted, was based on, especially if they may not have had a hand in the beginning, but the reports are coming out that they knew more than they led on to as the things went on. Like reportedly, they knew she wasn't missing after about 10 hours or 5 hours or whatever it was. Like after that
night. As soon as the news broke, they had the same expression on their face that I did, which is.
But then it became damage control.
She down at April's house.
Mm-hmm. And so when you start to get into damage control, like,
yeah.
And this is where, you know, as a parent.
She having a whole sucker attack over this dude.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's but exactly
I pray I'm never in this position, because my demeanor, if y'all haven't figured out, ain't really for like this. Like, a child or not, I just be like, look, it's time to come in, and she's not missing y'all. She good. This, like, I'm not going to play it up in the media to be able to.
I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah, right. I'm not the guy to get into that with. Yeah. Not me.
No.
Not at this stage in my life. There was a time I probably would have helped her. Dumb, mm-hmm. You know, young, yeah, prior to, I don't know, the century, maybe in the 90s, I might have been dumb enough to help her.
But it's funny you say that, logical Paul. For this, though. Like, well, I operate in logic.
But Paul, it's funny when you said that about it prior to this century, but I was thinking to myself, like, prior to me going into ministry, people think, like, well, you know, you pastor a church. You know, people come to me literally every day looking for some type of help, whether it's financial help, prayers, counseling, something every single day. That's literally what my vocation is. And the fact of the matter is, it's like, I'll tell them straight up, I want to help and I'm going to do all I can to help you. But we have to deal in truth.
Right.
The truth is, we not about to go through these shenanigans and running around and back and forth. We're going to call it what it is.
Well,
you had a sucker attack.
That's literally what happened. It's just like, if I don't know if y'all remember a few years ago, as a brother from FP, who
Forest Park, for those who Forest Park,
whose wife, who said his wife left for Walmart.
Yep.
You ain't gotta keep going. Yeah, I already know. Mm. Already know. Mm-hmm.
Walmart right down the street.
Yeah, she just came up missing from Walmart, right? No, that's not what happened. He knew what was happening. She was up the road getting ran in by like four or five dudes.
Right.
While he was home watching the kids.
That's what he wished was happening.
News and everything. Right. Yeah. Talking about she was missing. It was wild, bruh.
Why you gotta be bringing up old stuff, Paul?
And bruh wound up, the embarrassment, he wound up moving away from town.
Yeah. He couldn't be, And honestly, I feel for him.
Yeah.
Because I ain't gonna even lie to you. That's a walk of shame that it's like, oof. I don't know.
Well, but the bad part about that one, since you done brought it up and peeling back.
Because he like bringing up old stuff.
Man, the bad part about this versus the other, you know, the Alabama chick, was we knew.
We all knew. Yeah. We all knew where she was.
If you grew up in the 45240 zip code, you knew.
You knew where she was, and you knew what she was doing, and you knew he knew. That was the part.
That's the sad part, yeah. Yeah. You almost hurt for him. It's like, come on, man. You ain't got to do this.
Come on, bruh.
Again, this is where I was going. My brain is too logical to go through the exercises of trying to cover and think. One, again, white baby on the side of the road in Hoover, Alabama. That people going to go look. But two, there's cameras everywhere. Like, literally everywhere. Then she returned with money in her sock. Like, What thief or what kidnapper leaves you with a parting gift? Like, hey, here's some money for the road. Then they was talking, but she was like, they took pictures of her naked. but you kept your socks on. Like, none of this is making sense, though. Like, my brain is too logical to go through with keeping up with what this little girl was talking about, or what the unnamed guy from FP was talking about, or Jesse. Jesse's part fell apart with me. This is the smallest thing, but if you lived in Chicago, you know.
Yeah.
He lost me.
I know you're going
at 2 a.m. going to get a sandwich at Subway.
Yeah.
In the winter.
Nah.
I will start.
That's gonna wait till the sun come up.
Subway. Subway. And first of all,
all the places to go in Chicago.
All the places you can't get no
at 2 they in the deliver. Morning?
They're bringing to your hotel. You will empire.
You can send somebody.
Thank you.
You can send somebody. Yeah.
But again, it's Chicago. I've lived in Chicago. Ain't a Chicago winter. Yeah. I'm not walking for Subway. There's only a few things I will get out in Chicago cold in the middle of the night for.
Chicago ain't one of them. Chicago is probably it's one of my favorite cities in the whole United States of America. I've had job offers there. I refuse to go because I'm not going to live there in the winter time.
It's a different level of cold.
And I grew up in Cincinnati. I grew up in the Midwest. I'm not going to Chicago voluntarily. Like, you got to, there's got to be some real money on the line.
Chicago and Detroit.
Yes. Special. Minneapolis, another one.
I almost moved to Minneapolis, though.
Man.
Almost.
We were supposed to be going there in a couple weeks, actually, shopping for houses. Yeah, we were supposed to be going there in a couple weeks to visit some family. My in-laws up there. But yeah, I ain't going there in February.
I was recruited by Minnesota, and the only selling point they had for me was you can get to all your classes underground. And that was it. Like, because that was my
first. We had tunnels at Mount St. John. We had tunnels. We had a tunnel where we can get to class underneath. You go to the dorm underneath. Yeah.
Underground classes and the purple one.
That's all they had. That's literally all they had. And obviously, I didn't go.
They got a bunch of light skinned girls up there.
It ain't no sun. They all light skinned.
You know what? Wow.
I mean, right. but they light skinned like they is like down in like Baton Rouge. You know what I'm saying? They the same kind of light skin.
And on that note, we need to talk about one of these days. We're gonna have to sit here and talk about Andre and this broken theology of wasted prayers. I'm like, what you saving them for, bruh? Like, who are you saving them for? What you
me? Got? I need them all. You know where I am with the Lord right now.
Andre, he looked like he's looking at his wallet. Like, man, I ain't got but $37, and I need gas money to get home. So I got to save some
last week.
You ain't doing nothing with it.
You
wasted it.
You got the job and got fired. No,
Sound like we're gonna have to waste a few prayers on Paul and these light skinned women in Minneapolis that he be talking about,
and Baton Rouge.
And Baton Rouge, Minneapolis, and Baton Rouge light skinned women. Shout out to all the light skinned women
and all the other cities too.
Well,
and the brown skinned women, and the white women, and the yellow women, and the dark skinned women. All of them. Shout out to the ladies. Yeah. We love y'all. We've been beating y'all up for a lot of episodes.
And this is why I gotta go back to the prayer bank and withdraw some more prayers for this.
Right. That's a wasted prayer on me.
Yeah. All right, so I'm going to make this short and simple and sweet. My APB this week, and we kind of touched on it already, but I've noticed too many people, for full disclosure, my wife is an AKA, Pride member. And in light of all that we've been talking about with this attention that this young lady clearly has some problems. She's seeking attention to the point where she's willing to stage a crime and put her own life, career, everything in jeopardy. And I understand that, you know, there's a difference and people have really strong feelings about their Greek letter organizations. But my APB is for the Deltas, Sigma Gamma Rho, all the other Greek letter organizations out there, the other sororities that are not going to be glib and take this as a opportunity for a victory lap. I've seen too many people taking shots as though because she was an AKA or she's an AKA that this is somehow an opportunity to do kind of a one-upsmanship or to make this out like, oh, you know, whenever there is a crime or whenever it is somebody who's in a sorority, it's usually the AKAs because they think this and they act like that. And I just want to put an APB out. I'm looking for women who are actually going to, you know, call a spade a spade and let the truth be what it is, but not take this as an opportunity to drag somebody other than on the merits. Don't make this about the different sorority that you're from, or even for that matter, regional differences and biases that we have. Oh, well, you know, these girls in the South or whatever. One of the things that we really have to stop doing is be so segmented and compartmentalized that we forget that this is a human issue. This is about a human being that is clearly not dealing with things in the most healthy way. And so I'm looking for women to actually not take shots and people, frankly, to not take shots. Yes, I firmly believe that she needs to be dragged because the behavior is absolutely abhorrent and reprehensible. You know, but there you go. Like, don't make this about the AKAs. And I'm not saying this because my wife's an AKA. I'm saying this because I find that you actually discredit what you're trying to push up and promote when you do things like that, because you look petty, it looks crass, it looks beneath you to take shots at somebody because they're a part of a particular sorority or fraternity or things like that. So that's what I'm looking for. Really simply, I'm looking for people who are going to be genuine and sincere and not take shots and kind of, you know, drag other things into it that are not necessary. This is an individual person, individual situation. Don't make this out about her sorority.
I agree. What's the gospel song? Sweep around your own front porch.
Man.
Because my wife is a Delta, and they got their own issues. We'll just leave it at that. So do the Zetas, and so do the SG Rose. So we're not going to do what we not going to do is that.
And gratuitous shots. Use this example to take shots at people for no reason. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The
who don't deserve it. Yeah.
And to spin a positive forward just for the AKAs, y'all bought a whole bank. I like that. They bought an entire bank. So, yeah. So that will at least counterbalance y'all getting dragged by at least putting it out there in the public that y'all doing y'all thing.
Maybe they use some of that ransom money to do it.
Right.
Who knows?
Right.
I mean, I'm just saying.
Okay. By any means necessary.
All right. That's going to wrap up yet another great episode of The Gray Matters. We want to say thank you once again for joining us, especially those of you who are our regular listeners. We want to say how much we appreciate the time that you put into streaming and logging in every week. We want to say, please feel free to leave comments. If you have suggestions, questions, ideas for different episodes, people that you want us to discuss or even have on the show, please feel free to leave those comments for us. Once again, we appreciate each and every one of you who supports us. We look forward to seeing you yet again next week with yet another great episode. Plenty of hot takes, plenty of fun. Be blessed.
Peace.
So a preacher, a stay-at-home dad, and a rapper walk into a bar.
I am my ancestors back from the grave. No longer a slave, beat to the gods, kneel, pray, survive in my day. A threat to society, cause Malcolm showed me the way. I'm young, black, intelligent.
Oh, now they're afraid.
It's too late, I am the king, I am the spark to the brain. I am the light that fought the dark and now you're seeing the rain. I am the thing they spent their whole life killing. To find out, I am the rose that grew from under their building. This ain't for life, this is a fight so you can open your mind. Peel the scab back, reveal the blood and Tifa, we're fine. Like LeBron, I am just one of a kind. No longer will I accept the blind, leading the blind. Keep it a buck, say what I want, not giving a screaming after World at Park until the day my heart stops. And when I do, remember when I take my last breath, just remind the tape and witness all the knowledge I left the grave. So I said, a preacher, a stay-at-home dad, and a rapper walking to a bar. The Gray Matters.